being conformed to his death. On Sunday, we looked at the power of his resurrection, because we know that Sunday marked Easter Sunday, which is supposed to be the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And we know that over a long period of time, we've actually seen a lot of people resurrect from the dead. You remember the person that was thrown into the dry bones, and then the person became alive. You would also remember the people that were prayed for, those that were sick, and they were sick unto death. They died, the likes of Elijah and some other people in the scriptures, and they came back to life. Even Jesus of Nazareth prayed for Lazarus, and Lazarus came back to life. So resurrection is not something very new to us. Even though I don't think that anybody here had died before. Praise the Lord. But there's something different about Jesus' resurrection. Very different from what happened to Jesus and what happened to everybody else. The difference is that everybody that rose from the dead died again. But Jesus, our Lord, never died again. Hallelujah. The Bible said he ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. So he never died again. And I've chosen to title today's conversation, "That I May Know Him." Praise the Lord. That I may know him. We're going to be looking at this scripture. We'll try to understand what this scripture means to us. If we study this same scripture in the contemporary English version, it says, "All I want is to know Christ and the power that raised him to life. I want to suffer and die as he did." If you read from verse 1, Paul had begun to boast about some of the things that he had achieved. He talked about being a Pharisee, someone that understood the law, someone who was trained by a professor called Gamaliel. He talked about having something. He was even a tent maker. He had all the qualities that you can imagine. But he said he counted all these for nothing, because those things did not mean anything to him. And why did he do that? The scripture says in verse 10 that all he wanted to know was to know Christ. And it then began to seem to me that some of the things that we have achieved in life may be covering our eyes in the knowledge of who Jesus is. That is why some of the greatest people, the greatest inventors, the richest men in the world today don't seem to know who Jesus is. Many of them are not born again. In fact, some of them consider themselves as God. During this Easter holiday, I watched a movie that was recently, a series that was recently released on Netflix. It was the story of Moses. How many of us saw it? Ah, everybody. Can you imagine? I thought I was the only one that likes watching movie. Okay, so, but I watched I think it's a 3-episode, 1 hour, 30 minutes series. I watched everything. And there was something remarkable about the characters in that series. One of them was Pharaoh. Pharaoh did not know who God was. And do you know, he described himself as God. Why would he describe himself as God? Because he had achieved so much, and everybody in their world at that time submitted to Pharaoh. How would he believe that there was anybody greater than him? So it seems like when we get to a particular position in life, We tend to ask ourselves, and everything seems like we achieved it on our own. We tend to wonder, what place does God have in our lives? And do you know, the more you excel in whatever it is you do, the more you should marvel that there's someone who gave you the ability to achieve what you have achieved. I see a lot of people hold conferences and call themselves self-made billionaires, self-made millionaires. We are holding self-made conferences because they believe that what they have achieved on their own. But people of God, we need to recognize that there is someone greater than everything that we know. Praise the Lord. I visited a friend of mine who recently lost his father. And then he began to tell me what the magnitude of God, how it's like. And do you know that the earth that you live in, what space do you occupy on this earth? We imagine that the earth is so big, right? But do you know that the earth is one of the smallest planets in the entire galaxy? Praise the Lord. And imagine that the entire solar system is one tiny thing in the universe. And then there's somebody who created all these things. So I want to ask you, what is your place in the entire thing God created? You will discover that we have nothing to boast about. Praise the Lord. Absolutely nothing. Because when you check the space you occupy, all the achievements that you have made, you will discover that it is nothing when it's compared to God. It is nothing when it's compared to God. So Paul said that whatever he thinks that he had achieved, that he counted it as nothing for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. I want to read the easy-to-read version of the same text. Paul said, "All I want is to know Christ and the power that raised him from death. I want to share in his sufferings and be like him, even in his death." We're going to take that scripture one more time in the Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And that I may in that same way come to the power overflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death. You know, these translations, very amazing to me. I told you before that when I was much younger, I said I was going to set up a foundation called Collins Foundation. And the foundation will have one singular purpose, which is to start the research in the interpretation of the scriptures. Sorry, in the translation of scriptures. But after then, I used to have almost about 32 different translations. I even had the Hebrew, Greek, and the Hebrew, Greek, and there's one more. I've forgotten. No. Hebrew, Greek, is it Aramaic? You know, I used to have all those translations, and I would study and study and look, and then I asked, if we had all these translations, what is the point of having another one? Praise the Lord. I don't think that the world's problem is translation. I think that the world's problem is the interpretation. Praise the Lord. And by the grace of God, God will begin to help us to understand the scripture more and more and to apply it rightly into our lives. Because we understand it and we're not able to apply them, then it does not make any sense. So today, what we are going to try to do, that we're going to dissect this passage, verse 10, into four places. The first one is knowing who Jesus is. It says that I may know him. The second one is experiencing the power that raised him to life. The power that raised him from the dead. Number three, which is my favorite one, is sharing in his suffering. That's the one nobody likes. Praise the Lord. Why would you want to share in his suffering? And the fourth one is being like him in his death. Being like him in his death. When I was going through this scripture, and I asked myself, do we truly know who Jesus is? Many of us live with our spouses, for those of us that are married, and you discover over time that even after you have spent 10 years, 15 years, nobody can talk about your spouse more than you, because you have lived your everyday life with that person. But there are certain characters that you begin to see, and you tell yourself, I thought I actually knew who you were. Praise the Lord. How many of you have realized that? Sometimes, I thought that some single people want to raise their hand. I would have wondered who they are referring to. Praise the Lord. I used to tell my wife sometimes that we've been married for 13 years. You still don't know what I like. So you don't, every day seems like there's a new page of book that is opened. Every day seems like you have to learn new things about that person. It's the same way in our knowledge of who Jesus is. Every day of our life, we must trust God to continually show himself to us. And there's one fascinating thing about that movie we watched, which is the story of Moses. There was no one on earth, either before or after, that had ever experienced God like Moses did. But I saw the character of Moses before God. He was so confused. He would go to his sister, he would go to his wife and say, he's not talking to me again. You remember those parts in the scripture? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. He's not talking again, and I'm confused at this point because he's not speaking. And when he does not speak, I don't know what to do. Do you know that some of us begin to pride ourselves like we know everything? I hear people say that, speak of themselves, that they have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One man begins to pride himself that he has all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Recently, I saw online somebody that said he had he had more ability than God. I don't know if you saw something like that. Somebody said he had more ability than God. There was one that recently said, oh, as I was in the trance, God revealed himself to me and I saw God's face. Did you see that one? Did you watch that one? He said, I saw God's face. I saw his beard. He has a big church. And sometimes, to be honest, you wonder, all those people in that church, all of them are sitting there listening to this man. He said, I saw God's face. I saw his beard. And people say, you can't see the face of God and live. I saw his face. And you could see the pride when he speaks about seeing God's face. So you have seen God's face. You saw his beard. And And so everybody should come and worship you because you have seen God's face. Moses will go down and say, I am nothing. Remember that he was going to Canaan and God was no longer speaking to him. He told Aaron, we need to stop here. We have to change direction and go back to Mount Sinai where God first spoke to me because I no longer hear him. And Aaron said, Canaan is this way. And you're asking us to go back. We're going to spend more days. He said, there's no point going if God is not speaking. Someone that saw the burning bush, someone that experienced the 10 plagues, the plagues was not by somebody else, it was by his hand. He had all that experience, but he said, no, I'm not going to bask in the euphoria of the experience I had before. If I'm not hearing God now, I'm not moving forward. And you had a bad dream. You wake up and say you saw God's face. You know that kind of dream you have when you have malaria. Praise the Lord. You wake up and you say you have experienced God more than all of. See, people of God, if for any reason I make myself greater than you, I have started failing from that day. It does not matter if I'm the one preaching. It has nothing to do with that. For I am nobody without Christ. And it doesn't matter. This year I'm going to be 30 years in the Lord. But it makes no meaning if God is not speaking to me now. Praise the Lord. Makes absolutely no meaning. A little girl can have access to God much more than me. If I lose my faith. So we should not come to any point in our lives where we will claim that we know God. For he reveals himself to us daily. And if you lose track, you can be telling stories. You can be telling stories. Seeing Moses' life, I asked myself, can I experience God like this? Even yet, with all that encounter, he saw the promised land with his eyes, but he did not step in. And we have not achieved anything. And we boast that God is sleeping with us under the same wrapper. We boast that we are so close to God. And you don't realize that you are nothing before him. We need to be very careful. We need to be very careful. We need to be extremely careful. And this goes to a lot of us that may be preachers or speakers or that have spent so much time in knowing or studying the Bible. You know, I'm going to read this passage to us. I'd like us to read Luke chapter 24. It's pretty long, but we're going to read it. Luke chapter 24 from the Contemporary English Version. We'll read from verse 13 to verse 21. That same day, two of Jesus' disciples were going to the village of Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking and thinking about what had happened. Multimedia, please help us. Jesus came near and started walking along beside them, verse 16. But they did not know who he was. Jesus asked them, what are you talking about as you walked along? The two of them stood there looking sad and gloomy. Then the one named Cleopas asked Jesus, are you the only person from Jerusalem who didn't know what was happening there these last few days? What do you mean, Jesus asked? They answered, those things that happened to Jesus from Nazareth by what he did and said, he showed that he was a powerful prophet who pleased God and all the people. Then the chief priests and our leaders had him arrested and sentenced to die on the cross. We had hoped that he would be the one to set Israel free, but it had already been 3 days since all this happened. You know, what amazed me in this scripture is that verse 13 said that that same day, two of Jesus' disciples. He didn't say that they were attendees of the synagogue. The Bible did not describe them as someone that was familiar with going to the synagogue. The Bible described them as disciples of Jesus. And we know from studies that disciples are not just mere Christians. Disciples are people who have been tutored and trained under the leadership of Jesus, who have been trained to be more like Jesus, to become like Jesus. And since this was in Jesus' time during his death, they had seen Jesus, interacted with him. But the Bible said that when Jesus came and walked along with them, they did not know him. People of God, let me tell you something. There is a difference between someone who knows Jesus and someone who knows about Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know that you see someone from afar off, and once in a while, you go and take a selfie with him. You know, I have a selfie I took. I don't know who I would term one of the greatest person in Nigeria today. I really don't. Okay, I met Peter Obi once on a flight. And I went and quickly took a picture with him. And if you ask me so many questions about Peter Obi, I will probably tell you. But do I know who he is? I don't know him. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. He has no idea who I am. In fact, he used to come to our family. There's one of my cousins who happened to be very close to him when he was the governor of Anambra State. So he used to come and pay a visit to my cousin, but he's an elderly man, so I call him uncle. So he used to come and pay a visit to him and bring him gifts. He at one time, you know, gave him some appointments. But do I know him? I don't know him. Does he know me? I don't know him. And I am surprised that the Bible described these men as disciples. They should have known Jesus to a very large extent. But why would Jesus be walking along with them? And do you know that I do not think that Jesus prevented himself from it didn't allow them to know who he was. They just did not know who he was. They didn't know who he was. The Bible said here in verse 18. Multimedia, please, can you help us with verse 18? I'm thinking it's verse 18. Jesus asked and they answered, those things that happened to Jesus from Nazareth, but that by what he did and said, he showed that he was a very powerful prophet. Oh, verse 19. Disciples of Jesus described Jesus as who? A prophet. If they truly knew who Jesus was, would they describe him as a prophet? So they were disciples. They come to church. They come to interactive Bible study. They listen to all these things. They do quiet time. They go to fellowship. They go for evangelism. They do all that. But their knowledge of Jesus was limited to be the person of a prophet. You know why they called him a prophet? Because he said some of the things that they liked. He did a lot of miracles. The Bible said here that he pleased God and all the people. He also pleased the people. He did a lot of miraculous things. So we have limited our knowledge of Jesus to a prophet because all we expect him to do is to do miracles and to prophesy in our lives. You know, we like prophecies. We like, this is your season of breakthrough. This is your season of all-round blessing. It shall be well with you. And so we have reduced our knowledge of Jesus to those positive confessions. Because at every point, you expect those prophecies, you expect those good sayings, you expect those things. It is well with you at every point. So our knowledge of him is that it is well with you. That is why sometimes when something wrong is happening to us, you think that you are far away from God. And we're going to see today that that's not exactly what it means. Let's not reduce our knowledge to that of a prophet. I see that in our time, a lot of people have followed so many prophets. Like I said earlier, many of the churches that we go to where you see a lot of crowd is because people are expecting miracles. They want to see those signs. You don't see the substance of the word. No, they just want to see miracles and miracles. So you go expecting a miracle. You are trusting God for a miracle. And when the miracle comes, you bless God because you know him to be only the God of miracles. But may God help us in Jesus' name. They were disciples, and yet their knowledge of him was that of a prophet. Someone who does mighty things. Now, how does he want us to see him? How does he want us to see him? I'd like us to read Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Take the yoke I give you, put it on you, put it on your shoulders, and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. This is one description Jesus gave himself. He said that I am gentle and I am humble. And people of God, we misuse the word gentle. A lot of people see some men and they say, this man is gentle. Do you know you cannot truly use the word gentle for someone who has nothing? Praise the Lord. You can't use the word gentle for someone who has nothing. You can't use the word humble for someone who is already abased. How can you say somebody who is abased? You don't reach ground finish. You are saying he's humble. There's nothing humbling about him. Gentleness, the definition is strength under control. You know how human beings like to exercise authority over fellow human beings? You know, you go to your friend's office and he wants to show you that he has some subordinates under him. He quickly picks up his phone and calls somebody. Hey, please, can you come to my office? The person comes. You are seated there. He begins to ask the person questions in front of you just to show you that that man is his subordinate. Have you experienced that? Do you know that's something that is innate in man? I just want to show you that I am on top. Praise the Lord. People marvel sometimes when I behave the way I do. In my office, There's only one person that is higher than me in my office, which is the owner of the company. But do you know, when I want to buy a product from my office, when I want to buy a product, I have the authority to say, please write me an invoice, put this amount there. But I don't do that. I go there and say, please, I want to buy this thing. Can I get a discount? My office. Praise the Lord. And they'll be saying, okay, I'll give you $5 discount. I'll say, please, now why are you doing like this? I'll call your boss. And whatever they give me is what I pay. Some of you have been to my office. I cannot give you price. I will go and plead with them to give you a discount. I will not exercise authority or take advantage of my position. I will not do that. We as you, oh my God. We need to begin to look at Jesus' life and see that he was a humble man. The Bible said that he left everything and came and became a man. Being a man is humbling. Because he is God. Have you seen a God before? If you've watched the era of Zeus, and you see how proud, even Pharaoh, you see how proud he is because he thinks he's a God. How would somebody in that position be abase himself and become a man? We need to be humble. And we need to be gentle. I'd like us to share now. I've spoken too much. I've spoken for more than 30 minutes. What are the different ways you think that we can know who Jesus is? At least that we can know him more every day. What are the different ways that you think we can know him? Who wants to help us? Somebody should help us with the mic. Who's with the mic? Okay. Are you raising your hand? Okay, so give her the mic. Put your hands together for her.
Good evening, church.
Good evening.
I feel the most important way we could know Jesus is to daily study the Bible. And it's not just studying the Bible, because a lot of people, they read the Bible as if they're reading a novel. So I feel you have to study the Bible, pray that the Holy Spirit gives you a better understanding, not from your point of view, but from the point of view of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please put your hands together for her. You know how many of us, when we want to read the Bible, you are reading from the understanding that you have. You know something in your mind, and when you are reading the Bible, you only read what you know. So you don't want to learn anything new. But when you pray, like she said, you pray that the Lord gives you understanding. You begin to see new things every day. Praise the Lord. Who else? She said, study the Bible. Ambassador.
Good evening, church.
Good evening.
We have to look at his character, the way he behaves, and the way he show himself. Like what you have said, I've been to your office. I remember one day when I wanted to buy a phone. I first of all requested to see you. My intention was that they will bring the price down from the level of what they, from the amount. So immediately I was able to see you. You said, ah, Ambassador, why do you want to, I now told you. You came out with me. We walked down to the counter. So I was just looking at you. How can you be pricing as you have just said? How can you be just be pricing? You now say, after I bought the phone now, you now say, is there any gift to give me? I said, you could have commanded, I was thinking you could have commanded them, okay, give this man a gift, now he's my church member. You know, when I saw something of that from you, I said, for a big man to be talking to his staff like this, when he has the power, you didn't show that you have the power. Likewise, Jesus, he didn't show that he has the power until Thank you.
I didn't remember Obafemi was in my office. I didn't know. So if I had lied now, he would have praised the Lord. And actually, honestly, did not remember that day. He has been to my office several times, so I didn't know that. Praise the Lord. So he said that we should try to learn his character. So the question we should ask ourselves in every situation is, what would Jesus do? Praise the Lord. Some of us will say, please, leave Jesus out of this matter now, I beg. Just leave Jesus out of, leave the Bible out of this matter. This person wants to take advantage of me. And then you flex muscle. I know sometimes when we do that, a lot of things go wrong. You know, my height sometimes and my stature, sometimes I feel like beating up somebody. Praise the Lord. I just feel that this person is just misbehaving. Let me just beat him up. But I ask myself, what if the person is bigger than you? Will you imagine beating the person up? You will not imagine that. So we try to do those things because we feel. You just know one person. Maybe he's a commissioner, ordinary commissioner, commissioner of police. You know, you think you know him and you are close to him. And they start flexing. Do you know who I am? I'm going to make one phone call and you sleep 1 week in jail because you know one person. Praise the Lord. Let's try to, you know, exhibit his character. Put your hands together for Ambassador. Anybody else? What else? How else can we become more and more to know Jesus? No, there are definitely so many things. Who wants to help us? Is he saying something? Okay, give it to Pastor Kola. Put your hands together for him.
All right, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just looking at the scripture, Matthew 11:29, the B part, it says, I'm gentle and humble. I think that speaks a lot about Jesus, understanding that he has the power, but he's really not using the power. I remembered when he was speaking to the disciples, and I think one of them said he wants to call angels from heaven. And the Lord told him that, no, it's not about that. It's about your name written in the book of life. So even when he went to the cross, he could remove himself from the cross and walk away from the cross, but he still allowed it. And there was also a part in the Bible whereby they said, everybody dressed like Jesus. They didn't know the difference between him and the other disciples. So I'm wondering, really, if we want to be like Christ, I think the first thing is we must humble ourselves. So when I see a lot of people making so much noise, I really doubt if the Spirit of God is in them. Praise the Lord.
This humbling thing, you just imagine what you would do if you had all the power and all the money. You know, in the Bible times, they can just say, you see these Hebrew children, go and kill all the firstborn. And we say they are very wicked. You know, people with power, they do that kind of thing. Go and kill all the firstborn, and they start killing people. And it means nothing to you. And you can describe them as wicked, but ask yourself, what do you do when you have the power? Even in your home, in your house, just your wife, because you seemingly have power over her, or your house help, or your workers, you have employees, how do you treat them? Because you seemingly have power over them. We need to be a little bit humble like Jesus. Amen. We're going to go to the number two. Number two, we said number one was knowing Christ. Number two, what do we call number two? Experiencing the power that raised him from the dead. Experiencing the power that rose Jesus from the dead. Who can tell me what power rose Jesus from the dead? Anyone? What power rose Jesus from the dead? Is it Abido Sheka? Because Abido Sheka is power. I think that Tinta Boski is higher than Abido Sheka. Which one is higher? Praise the Lord. Which power rose Jesus from the dead? At least you said it's not Abidosheka now. So, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. I want us to read Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 8. But the Holy Spirit will come upon you and give you power. Then you will tell everyone about me in Jerusalem, in all Judah, in Samaria, and everywhere in the world. Let's go to the King James Version. King James Version, with the same verse. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Why did Jesus depend on God or the Holy Spirit to raise him from the dead? He was God. He could just die and come back to life. But he depended on someone else to raise him to life. And when Jesus rose from the dead, what was the thing he began to do? He began to visit the church and to minister to them. What exactly is this power that rose Jesus from death? What exactly are we supposed to do with this power when we experience it? The Bible said here in Acts that there's the primary reason for the power of the Holy Spirit is to be witnesses. Praise the Lord. The primary power of the Holy Spirit is to be witnesses, to talk about Jesus. Many of us have seen the power. Of course, you know, there's several things that the power can do. With the power, you can heal the sick. With the power, you can raise the dead. With the power, you can command things that are not as though they were. We can use the power for all these things. But all these signs are supposed to follow one thing: witnessing. Praise the Lord. But you see the church today, they try to exercise the power in making a name for themselves. I remember many years ago when I heard of Winners Chapel and Deeper Life. This was many, many, many years ago, maybe more than 20 years ago, when I was hearing about these churches. The only thing I was hearing about them was the miracles that they were doing. Praise the Lord. You know, there was a time where these miracles was a reigning thing. It's not even now. It had rained before. Some of you are seeing it now. It was the reigning thing about them then. And everybody was pursuing miracles. And they were doing a lot of miracles in Deeper Life and in... But now I see those churches. There's no so much focus on all those things. Their focus now is on the Word. Because these signs are supposed to follow something. They're not supposed to be the primary thing. Praise the Lord. They're not supposed to, for us, it's not there for us to be chasing after them. Every point in time, we are looking for an opportunity to exercise power. When we were much younger students, there's no time we have a program that will not show power. We'll show power. The Holy Spirit will move. I just hope it was the Holy Spirit moving, really. Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes you look at yourself and you wonder, as young children, I was not up to 20 years old. I would hold a meeting and people would be falling. Everybody, and I would have Holy Spirit here, because that was what was ready for us at that time. There was a time I said, everybody close the windows, close everywhere, and we're praying. Let the Holy Spirit move. And people were jumping out of the windows, jumping out, as in windows that is closed. Somebody burst out because the Holy Spirit was moving. You know, then I used to have a jacket, a very big jacket. You know, winter jacket. Those times, winter. So anytime I was to minister, I would wear that jacket. Praise the Lord. So somebody, one time, went to carry my jacket and wear. I started laying hands on people. So people were falling everywhere. And then you see that what we were trying to do was to make a name for ourselves. And I can tell you that for a fact. Because I look at myself now, 20 years after, and I'm laughing. Praise the Lord. Because we did not create substance in people. People did not know the word of God. Everybody was after. And you did not have a meeting, and you don't do, we call it power move in those days. It's not called power move now. In those days, we call it power move. You must do power move. Because everybody wanted to show that I had an experience with God. The only way to show that God was in that meeting was that his power will what? His power will move. The best explanation of the move of the power of God is that your life is transformed. How can your life be transformed? It's through the ministry of the word. Praise the Lord. It is through the ministry of the word. Somebody can fall down 10 times. His life is worse than when he was standing up. The scripture says that the power was primarily for witnessing. No matter what you do, your ability to transform somebody's life. Do you know the miracle? When preaching to someone who is a sinner and the person says, oh, I repent of my sin and I belong to Jesus right now. I want to become a new person. Do you know the miracle that has happened there? But you are not happy with that one. You are happy when you raise the dead. Praise the Lord. What is the point? Forgive me, there's nothing. I wish I could raise some people back to life. But what is the point of the person coming back to life and he's useless in God's hand? What is the point that we do all these things that we do and we cannot transform one person's life from darkness into light? The power of God that we should seek is the power to transform lives. What is the slogan of Grace Assembly? Grace Assembly, transforming lives. That is all that we need. And I pray that as we receive this power, we will heal the sick, we will raise the dead, we will do all that, but we will bring people to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please put your hands together for Pastor Kola. He wants to share something. The mic.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The only time God is happy and the only time heaven is rejoicing is when a soul is won. And that's the end of the story.
Praise the Lord. You think there's so much joy in heaven when somebody that was very sick is no longer sick? What is there? He was sick, he's no longer sick. In fact, if he's sick and he knows God, God will prefer that the person die and come home. Abi? We are the ones that want somebody to live 200 years. That if somebody that is 90 years died, we are still crying. There's nothing wrong with crying though when somebody dies, oh please. I don't know how God created me. But there's nothing wrong with that. Praise the Lord. But we need to begin to pursue the things that matter. We need to really pursue. Kevin is only power. Sorry, what I'm saying is, why are you following this man? He said, that guy, he has power. He has power. Praise the Lord. He has power. That's why you're following him, because he has power. People shout, may do all manner of things and the world is amazed at foolishness. The greatest power is that thing we do on Saturday. And if you do it everywhere you are, people see you and their lives are really transformed. I remember a Muslim came to me once and said that I see the way you live your life and honestly, I want to be like you. This was during my IT. As somebody in the university, I was doing my IT in their office. And this guy was my superior. Of course, he works there, so he's definitely my superior. He's a Muslim. For an IT boy, I see the way you live your life. Please, what can I do? I say, just one thing that differentiates me from you, and that's Jesus. That guy got born again, and he's dead now. And I'm happy. Praise the Lord. I'm happy that he gave his life to Christ. Before he died, he didn't die a Muslim. Not because of the message, the wonderful message that I preached. No. It was because of the life that I lived. The power that we should seek is the power that transforms people's life. The power to be witnesses. I'd like us to quickly go to the third one. What is the third one? Sharing in his suffering. Please, I'd like us to share with me now. How do we share in Jesus' suffering? How do we share in his suffering? Who can help us? How do we share in his suffering? How do we suffer the way he did? Okay, Minister Daniela wants to talk. Put your hands together for her.
Good evening, church. How do we
before
share?
Before she forms, all my messages, I used to hardly discuss it with her, so.
Okay, how we share in Christ's suffering is by identifying with the sacrifice. That's by accepting that sacrifice, the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. How? Just like you said, by, you know, accepting him, confessing, and giving your life to Christ. So, and you daily, you know, it doesn't end there. So you have to daily study your word, carry your cross, and follow him. By carrying your cross means that, you know, you die to the flesh. There are some things you have to lay down. You have to give up, you know, some privileges for the sake of the kingdom.
She said that one of the things we need to do is to give up some privileges for the sake of Christ. These are the things I want us to expand on. You know, some of these words, look, how do we apply these words to? How do we identify with his suffering? What are some of the privileges or some things that we do that we know that we are identifying with his suffering? What are some of the privileges that we give up for the sake of the gospel? Samuel, I don't know if you are raising your hand. Okay, Ambassador, give it to Ambassador. Put your hands together for Ambassador.
Part of the sacrifice that you have to do, when they call, like evangelism that you ask, they tell us to come for, most of the time is not convenient for many of us.
Put your hands together for him, please. Put your hands together for him.
But out of the inconvenience, person tries to come down and do the work. I think the people that are coming for evangelism, it's not that they cannot stay at home or be sleeping or be doing other things. But the moment they took it upon their time that, okay, this time I'm going to sacrifice to do the God's work, I think it's part of the sacrifice. Even coming for
interactive
Bible, it's a sacrifice. You can close from your work and decide that, okay, I will go and watch online. Online cannot be as we are seeing ourselves, and you are free to ask questions and feed as part of the list.
Thank you, Ambassador. Pastor Kola.
I will take my own sacrifice to a more practical level. Let me say husband and wife, whereby the wife needs to submit and the husband needs to love. So if we look at the percentage of wives submitting to the husband now, maybe about 10%.
The 10% is from Grace Assembly.
And also the husband loving their wives too, 10%. So if
somebody increase the percentage.
I don't want to be in trouble. So.
Praise the Lord. Put your hands together. Who else wants to share? Okay, Minister Sheila. Who else? Because our time is up so that we'll rush. Minister Sheila.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I would say obedience is an instruction, but at the same time, I can take it. Sometimes it becomes a sacrifice. Because there are times that someone offends you, and some way, somehow, the Holy Spirit asks you to go and apologize to the person. And it may not really be your fault, but because of that instruction that was given, and the fact that you have to obey, I think obedience sometimes becomes a sacrifice.
Thank you, Minister Sheila. You know, let me just point on a few things that they have said. You know, ambassadors talked about convenience. Do you know that some people don't come for interactive Bible study because the ACs are not working? Do you know that? Some people don't believe that, right? There's a level you attain in life that there are certain places you can't be anymore. For me now, my house, AC, my office, AC, my car, AC, and I'll come here and I'll be sweating. So some people, I can't deal with that. Of course, I'm part of the service. I'm worshiping online, but it cannot be here. Your being here is part of the suffering. You will not put your hands together for yourselves. For some of you, this one is not suffering, no. This is enjoyment. Because this fan I'm enjoying here, there's no fan in my house. Praise the Lord. The decision to submit to your husband because you're a Christian. And I told somebody recently, she said, I don't know where the culture of the women must wash plate. The women must be the one to cook. I don't know where it's from. What kind of nonsense culture is that? Somebody, a lady told me this. And she's angry that her husband does not want her to, does not want them to travel abroad. I said, how can you be like this? And you want your husband to agree for you to travel abroad. If you are treating him like this now, the guy will be homeless. Praise the Lord. She said, no, I don't. I said, as much as we must respect culture, but every time you ask yourself, let's go back to what? To the Bible. There's somebody I know who will tell his wife, when his wife is arguing with him, he will tell his wife, okay, no problem, it's okay. Let's just go back to the Bible and see what the Bible says. And the wife says, oh, that's the problem with you. You're not always practical. You're not always real. Everything, let's go to the Bible. And the man is saying, where is the Bible? It's the Bible. What can solve our problem if not the Bible? And she's angry because he's forming spiritual. That is not forming spiritual, though. Please, if somebody says you have talked the Bible too much, he's forming spiritual, I say, no problem. My life depends on the Bible. And I also tell my wife the same thing. The only solution to all our problems is in the Bible. Forget about what people preach. Forget about what social media says. And you see how people are beginning to accommodate certain things that are worldly because it seems like it's now general opinion and it's contrary to the scripture. But no! One of the sufferings is that we resort to the Bible. We resort to the Bible. And don't be afraid of going to the Bible. We must learn to obey. Sister Sheila said, simple obedience can be suffering. You don't want to do it, but you just have to obey. Suffering must not be in the situation where you come out and you come to Pastor Kola or the senior pastor and say, I feel that my life is too convenient. God is beginning to speak to me to go and minister to the ISIS that are kidnapping these children. I want to go and minister to them. And if my life goes for it, so be it. Praise the Lord. I don't send you message. You say, yeah, we have not suffered enough. I don't send you. You know, when the Bible talks about suffering, we must look at what is prevalent in our time and relate your sufferings to. We suffer with him when we suffer for his name's sake. If there are certain things that you are suffering because of his name, you are identifying with his suffering. Praise the Lord. For instance, as a Christian, you lose a job because they've asked you to do something that your faith cannot allow. You are suffering for his namesake. That is identifying with his suffering. Somebody tells you, before I give you this contract, you must sleep with me. Before I give you, you know, women, every small thing is sleep with you, sleep with you. For some men, they will say, if you don't pad the budget, call it anything, call it any name. There was one time I went to the hospital for my son. They wrote professional fees. They wrote consultancy. They wrote different figures. So I asked the nurse, please, what is professional fees? What is consultancy? It's the same thing. They are padding it. And because we were using insurance, so my business is just to tender my signature, right? You just tender your signature and the insurance will pay everything. But I said, the fact that I'm using insurance does not mean that you'll be cheating the insurance. So cancel this one. We didn't stay in private ward. You put us in private ward. Please cancel it. Put the normal ward. Reduce the money. Praise the Lord. I check all those things. The fact that I'm not paying does not mean I don't check. We still use them now. Some of them will come with a blank sheet and say, sign here. You too will sign. Because you're not the one paying. Praise the Lord. I remember one time, I was trying to get a contract. It's a place I get contracts from. It's called ConocoPhillips. Some of you might be familiar with ConocoPhillips or a company. They've been acquired by Oando. I've been getting contracts there for years. And then the IT manager was changed and a new person was brought in. And the new person just told me, for this item, please, I want you to add so and so amount for me. I said, add so amount for you. I said, sorry, I can't do that. I didn't get that job. I went, I was begging him. My wife said, I don't know what you're talking about. Make sure you get that job. So I went to the man's office. The man tried to explain to me, you know, the management have checked and discovered that they've been giving you the job for years and decided to give it to nobody. I said, is it because of that money I did not add? He said, when I was telling you to add that, you refused to add. And I lost that company forever. And I think it's because of me that Oando bought them. They folded. Praise the Lord. If you suffer, you are denied certain privileges for the sake of your belief in the cross, that is suffering. Praise the Lord. My time is up. We have one last thing. What is the last one? Being like him in his death. Being like him in his death does not talk about the method of his death. It talks about being the way he was when he died. Being like him. And this sums up everything. You cannot be like him if you do not know him. In fact, by the time you follow these few steps, when people see you, what they see is Christ. And I pray that every day of our lives, just like Paul, we will cry, I want to know you, that I may know you. Nothing matters to me. In all of my achievement, it is just for the sake of the gospel. Please, I'd like us to rise up on our feet. God bless you. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this revelation of your word. Just like we've celebrated the death and the resurrection of our Lord, We pray that every day of our lives you teach us to know you. Transform our lives such that we will become like you. And Lord, we know that the world will become a better place. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. One more time, put your hands together for the Lord.